right, everybody, welcome back to Overdunk episode 117. Is your favorite Pokemon Unite podcast, your favorite competitive Unite podcast? Oh, well, we're taking over all of them. What's going on, everybody? I am Zoinks, joined as always by Bridget, just the dynamic duo for this one. But it's going to be a fun episode. Bridget, how have you been? How's the new ranked season been treating you out there?
You know, up and down.
Okay.
I am not masters yet, but I've only probably played a couple nights.
Sure.
So I haven't been hard grinding this season very much, but I was excited to play on a new patch, to be honest. I was definitely getting tired of the world's meta.
yeah, I'm aligned. I think I enjoyed that last meta. I actually thought it was a pretty good one, but yeah, I was ready for some new stuff. And listen, I've been talking to some Pokemon Go players these days, and I'm like, man, I'm really glad we have multiple changes because I am excited for what we're heading into. Because, yeah, this new patch has been pretty fun. I don't know if that's a unanimous decision, though. Some of these changes have definitely leaned a little bit in the toxic direction, but we'll get into all of that throughout the show for sure. Some very exciting stuff, some very interesting stuff in this patch, and a lot that is going to be like, I mean, this is the first patch without EX Pokemon all of a sudden. So it's definitely we're setting the pace in an interesting way going forward for the next few months and competitive year, potentially. So a lot to talk about, obviously. But Bridget, about your ranked games, don't feel too bad. I also have not hit Masters yet, but today I did have some time to put out a few games, and I think I joined this call and was like, Bridget, my Goodra is nice. So I'm not saying Goodra is back. I'm not saying Goodra is taking over. I am just saying that my personal Goodra is absolutely cooking. And if you see me on the rank ladder, you better ban it. Because Muddy Water Acid Spray is feeling real good into a lot of the field right now. I'm just saying. it didn't receive any changes. I don't want to say that at the start of the episode and people think that it was buffed or nerfed. It was not. Please buff Acid Spray Muddy Water when. But anyway, I'm here for everything Goodra. But which is really funny because I never liked this Pokemon until Unite released.
Wow.
And I was like, ooh, I do like this Pokemon. Yeah, Goodra was like one of my least favorite Dragon type Pokemon like ever. I loved Goomy, but like Sligoo and Goodra I was just never really jiving with. But and, I know. It should have been grass type. Like, I don't know what you want from me. And yeah.
A grass dragon?
Yeah. There is grass dragon. Like, wait, we have Appleton now, right? Like, that's the
grass dragon. Yeah,
the Flapple in them, which is fine. I just do feel like grass dragon would be good. Okay, this is an insane random tangent. Bridget, have you seen any of those YouTube videos? Some PokeTubers have done them, but like, if Pokemon were to add a type, this is a type that I would like. Have you seen any of those discussions?
Yeah, I feel like I've seen them on like Twitter, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched any YouTube about it.
Okay. I've watched a few YouTube discussions. I haven't seen any on Twitter, but I'm curious what you think of some of these. The two I see brought up the most, but the one I see brought up the most, I think, is wood. Wood gets brought up by a lot. It's like wood or plant. Like, basically, re-evaluating grass type to be plant type is a good start. Because I actually think this is correct. I think grass is, like, not a great description of that type. I do think it should be plant type, if we were to kind of start. Which isn't exactly a re-one, but another one I saw people bring up is food type Pokemon. And there's a decent amount that work for food type Pokemon. Like, food type could kind of work.
Yeah, I actually like that's the best one you've said.
Okay.
IMO.
Okay, I'll take it. Have you seen or heard of any of those, or even off the cuff have a type that you think would be cool?
Wood was shocking. I'm surprised that's popular, but I guess it makes sense. It's like a natural material. I guess this would kind of be an expansion on, like, rock type, but, like, crystal, I think, would be, like, cool.
Crystal could be very cool.
I feel like that's basically Terra.
Yeah, we do see that a little
bit. Kind of took that.
I think other popular ones end up being sound type gets brought up a lot. A lot of people like sound type.
That's what I've seen a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sound type's a good one. I thought digital might be kind of cool. Like,
I was thinking that.
Yeah, we have some kind of not electric type, but something else, right? Like,
it's like mechanical.
Mm-hmm. Porygon would be a very great, either just you just rework it to be mono digital or like normal digital or something.
Yeah.
Would be very fun.
Vroom.
Maybe like early stages of Zygarde could be kind of cool in that way. I don't know if that necessarily works. Or like Deoxys could be like have a form maybe where it's like a... Anyway, this is a lot of discussion into a topic that literally doesn't exist in our Pokemon game.
Let's
because
not on the agenda.
Yeah, there are no Pokemon types. I just, you know, no dupes next to rein us in. So I'm really...
Yeah, he really keeps us on track.
Yeah. Dupesnext, well known for such. So that's why we're going off a little wild track. But let's get into the first topic, which is going to be our main topic of today's episode. As you can tell, the title of today's episode is the Hyper Voltage Patch. Honestly, one of the first W's is that we're sticking to cool AF names for our episodes.
Yes.
I personally love it. So the Hyper Voltage Patch, aka 1.16.1.2, whatever. Quite a few changes have happened. A lot of them not necessarily Pokemon balance specific that I think are really cool. Like there's some item changes, some map changes. So let's get into all of them, Bridget, without further ado. Bring it up on screen here. We got it on the Unite DB patch notes. If any of you are ever interested, unite-db.com/patch notes is where we normally go on the podcast for all of these things. Mostly just because the stats are pretty specific. Yeah, Pokemon's done a much better job of making their patch notes more specific, especially in the English translations recently. But this is just the first place I thought to go to. So that's where we're going. But a pretty great, not a paid sponsorship, but... You know, no free shoutouts, but for Unite DB, we'll make an exception. But okay, first changes. A Selgor and a Scavalier, the two blue buff and red buff, as they're known in the community, have been nerfed. Their experience points have been reduced by 18%, and Baltoy's experience points have been increased by 33%. Why these weird numbers? The numbers literally translate that those points were taken from a Selgor and a Scavalier and given to Baltoy. That is just how the experience points differentiate in terms of their growth pattern. So now the jungle is a little bit different. If you're trying to invade, just taking a red or a blue buff will not net you as much experience. You'll still get the buff, of course. And the only other change I have really seen, and I was really excited about, I was hoping it was going to be more impactful, Leafeon can still just one buff gank a lane, but it needs to knock out the Baltoy as well now. So Leafeon does need to knock out the Zatu Baltoy blue red buff and then go to top or whatever.
Fine.
I know. It's little increments. I was like, finally, our Eeveelution hellscape is over. But not
as if they would nerf an Eeveelution.
A strategy revolving around Eeveelution. Yeah, it's fine. Oh my goodness. But yeah, that is where we were at. Also, I'm gonna move chat to over here. I think just it'll look a little bit better on the screen. But okay, cool. So that is that's what we're looking at in terms of the buffs. I honestly think it's a pretty cool change. It's obviously a reaction to the metagame, especially in competitive play. I don't know how often you were getting invaded in your ranked games. I don't know if it was a super common strategy then. It did exist, but this is definitely a response to how popular the strategy of invading the enemy central area is. And let's face it, it made it very difficult to play big scalers in lane, especially on first rotation. So maybe this will start impacting the metagame a little bit, more late game scaling Pokemon. Like I'm looking at like your Tyranitars or maybe even your single strike Urshifu might fit this bill, might feel a little bit safer about central area. But anyway, I've talked a lot about it. How are you feeling about it, Bridget?
I do think this is a really cool change. I feel like, I mean, when's the last time we got any changes to NPC like farm?
Yeah, RIP Natus, maybe?
Literally.
That or maybe they changed how the Regibuffs worked one time. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I think they would have buffed like Regice.
Yep, they did at one point.
Yeah, they buffed Regice at one point. But okay.
But it's been a long time. It's been a long time. So
that's a Jeopardy
exciting
question, by the way. I gotta have
oh,
I gotta
yeah,
write that
you
down.
You should write that down.
Alright, continue.
So very exciting and was definitely not expecting changes to the buffs, but I will say I think getting invaded is pretty annoying, so I like that
Sure.
there's some less value there because it does feel like you get really far behind if even one of your first three jungle rotations is invaded. I feel like later in the game it's a little less tragic, still tragic, but early game it just felt way too snowball-y. I'm curious, so like you were saying, Leafeon still can get its level four by doing a clear, but it's not quite as efficient as it used to be. I'm like curious like why it was 18%. You know what I mean? I'm like, what
Oh, yeah, I mentioned that
about it
early when I was talking about
specifically?
it. It like that's just the number that it needed for that like bulk experience number to be equated into the ball toy. So like there has
Yeah,
been
but I
no
mean, so why
overall
that
change.
amount for the ball toy? Like why
Because
move
ball
that
toy
amount?
has less experience overall, right? So like Escavalier has more, so it only takes an 18 reduction to get that amount, but that amount is 33% to Baltoy because Baltoy has less overall. Basically, what I'm saying is the central area experience overall has not changed. It is now
Yeah,
like there
I'm
has
just
been
wondering
no
why
loss.
I still don't understand how they got to that amount. I don't know if what you're saying is explaining that. Sorry for
No,
not
it's okay. I
understanding.
am not doing a good job of explaining it. That's okay. But
Like
yeah.
I understand that the buffs had more XP, but and that they just put it in the ball toy, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Sorry.
No, you're all good. So yeah, that is going to be the changes there. A slightly different jungle experience. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. I think competitive play will still see our fair amount of invasions. I think that is going to still exist, especially if you can steal a red buff and get away, or a blue. Like that feels really solid, but maybe it's a little less all in. You know what I mean? Like maybe you're trying to take it and run more so than these days where you don't even mind if you get KO'd after you sneak in and get that knockout because then you're just level four by the time you get back to lane and it's not a huge problem. I don't know. Maybe we'll see a bit of change there. But let's jump down to Zacian. So Zacian, I literally have not learned how to say this Pokemon's name in all of the years I've done this. Joe Brown, who was on our podcast like literally last week, has gotten mad at me like every time I say it wrong. So one of these days I'll get it right. But this is one of the first Pokemon that has now lost their EX license title and has now received a host of nerfs to try to adjust it a little bit more to the rest of the cast. Basically, general attack stats going down, mostly in the boosted auto attacks, which are a big part of Zacian's kits, most importantly, the fourth one that kind of gives you that little mini dash on that Pokemon once you stack up the four boosteds. All of them, they all do maximum HP damage. They've all been reduced by just about 1%. So, toning it down a little bit, and then when you use agility, your shield is a little bit less. I think they're just trying to make play rough on this Pokemon viable as well, just because agility feels the best whenever you're playing Zacian. It's kind of like on Dodrio, same way. It's just like another little full heal you get to throw in here and there, and it feels really good. But have you seen any Zacians these days when you've been playing on the ranked ladder, Bridget?
I feel like I haven't seen this mod in
Yeah,
months,
okay.
if I'm being honest.
It has been a minute for sure. I feel like it was. Do you think that it was one of the more balanced ones even before we lost the license title?
I mean, weren't they banned in rank last season once you hit master?
I think no. Last season you
Or
could
were
play
they?
four, I think, because that was like Ho-Oh launch. So they wanted you to
Oh,
play Ho, but it
yeah.
was the season before that one that they were all banned, or just one? You could only have one per team. Forget exactly.
Yeah,
Yeah.
one of the other.
But Maridon was crazy then, so it was like.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I really can't even say if this was like warranted or not, if I'm being honest, just because
It's been so
Zacian
long.
didn't feel impactful in obviously in tourneys because it has been illegal since Worlds last year, and it's. I feel like there's just not even any pro to playing the former EX mons like throughout the entire year because you never knew if they were going to be like banned or not each season. So it was like, why am I even going to try to learn how to play this mon if I can't even play it for most of the time in rank? I don't know. It just feels like there was no incentive at all. So even when they were allowed, it was kind of hard to justify unless you are like a gold badge
Right.
Zacian player.
You embrace the Comfey in the before times. Yeah. Then maybe you started bringing that Pokemon out. Yeah, I think it is one of the more balanced on the roster. It is still powerful, but this feels like one of those Pokemon that actually does the whole AO synergy translation into points thing pretty well. I think with the state it's in, you do kind of feel the absence of that third item. I don't know. I'm pretty pro Swordwolf these days. So I think it's pretty cool. A Pokemon that did receive a ton of nerfs. However, I don't know if we've quite got it to the spot that we needed to, but that's all right. Ho-Oh, another Pokemon that receives a ton of nerfs. They start with this one. I think it might be the most impactful one. In my opinion, is Regenerator. So, Regenerator was his passive. Basically, was a Leftovers passive that happened all the time. So, it just was a little bit less well in combat and a little more well out of combat. But now, in combat, HP recovery every 2 seconds has been decreased to just slightly less of your max HP by 0.1%. So, in combat, very little change. But out of combat has been reduced by an entire percent. So 4% of max HP down to 3% of max HP. I don't know. It's solid. This was one of the biggest complaints around Ho-Oh, was that just every time you fought it, it was at full HP. And it never needed to base because you were just roaming. While you were out of combat, you were just healing. It was totally fine. So having that change, I think pretty good. All the moves got nerfed as well. Tailwind, Fire Spin, Sky Attack, Fly, and its Unite move a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I do like the change on the Unite move that your allies will only drop feathers if you have your Unite. So there were some cases, especially around that first Reggie, like if your team's kind of dominating, you lose a couple targets, but you get 9 mid-fight or from a Reggie or something, and then you just immediately click it and res those two characters that are still on respawn. That won't be possible anymore. So a little bit less of like huge burst of life at level 9. Now you're going to kind of, as soon as you hit level 9, you have to start thinking of how to use it. You saw almost no Zacian. How about Ho-Oh out there, Bridget?
These changes seem helpful, but Ho-Oh still feels the same to me to play against. I really dread it. I honestly thought they just changed the feather thing because I thought it was like, because I've played a bit of Ho-Oh, I thought it was just like annoying that like you could be level 2 and your ally dies and they're dropping a feather. And I'm like, well, that's just incorrect. Like, that's just not happening. That's why I thought they changed it. I didn't realize it actually like mattered for anything, but
yeah, it'd be a pretty niche situation where that would matter, I guess. That's fair.
I mean, but still, yeah. I've played ladder games where the enemy Ho-Oh revives one guy and it like saves them Ray fight.
Yes, for sure.
in uncoordinated, you know, I'm on ladder in ultra lobbies and it is like game winning ult from one guy and the other guy like paying attention that he got res. So I can only imagine what this is going to be looking like in like coordinated play. It just feels like the ult, unless it gets, you know, more nerfs, the ult is going to make it just always useful.
Yeah, it feels like a Slowbro situation, but maybe even more. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it is just always going to be strong, especially in draft mode, especially in coordinated play. I don't care what the rest of the kit does as long
honestly,
as that
it
Unite
still feels
does
strong.
What it needs to do. Exactly. I have got to cast one tournament on this patch. The Underdunk tournament happened last Thursday. It was absolutely a blast. And I got to witness one full team res by Ho-Oh. It was insane. It was so good. Yeah, it was fantastic. It was a full 4 players up.
God,
and Ender and I were losing our minds. And they like dominated after the fight too. Like they popped back up and just blew up because the other team was already like barely alive too. It was a very close fight. I think the crazy thing was, I think they had knocked out Ho-Oh like kind of at like 202 to like 210. But like Ho-Oh's res time was like pretty short still, so it was like able to join the fight as his friends were dying and then res them up, but it was like, oh my god, it's crazy. So that was kind of wild. That's another, if they're looking for ideas how to nerf Ho-Oh more, because I think in the state it is, I actually don't think it's too like I don't know, game breaking in ranked and stuff like that. I do think in tournament play, thank God the ban system. Like, I think Ho-Oh was going to be as close to a permaban as we get in the next few tournaments. It was in the Underdunk event. It was the couple of games that showed up. I think it went 2-1 on broadcast when we got it in. But we casted a lot of games, right? So it wasn't seen very often, but I think it went 2-1 overall. Anyway, I think one thing that could change, they already said they're changing with the feather dropping until you have your Unite move. What if teammates don't drop a feather unless you're alive?
Oh, that's interesting.
If, like, Ho-Oh is, like, waiting to rez, and, like, if you knock out Ho, like, now is the go. Now is the time.
Which is kind of how there's definitely, you know, it kind of also reminds me of, like, Hoopa. It's like, you just have to jump on that guy first, almost. Yes, like,
for sure. Except Ho-Oh just has more defensive stats because it's a defender, right? So that makes it very, very challenging in that regard.
Definitely.
I mean, Ho-Oh or Hoopa's stats when it's unbound is kind of crazy. But obviously, you're usually trying to knock it out before it gets to that point. But okay. Anyway, I think Ho-Oh is still kind of a yet to be seen, and I feel like that our sentiment's going to be a lot of that towards a lot of these EX Pokemon, right? Like, it's...
Yeah.
They've been around, but it's still new. You know, I'm not too sure. I can't wait to talk about Mewtwo, because I also had some fun tournament thoughts on Mewtwo when it happened. Didn't do very well, but had some cool techs. That was kind of fun to watch. But anyway, the huge change to Sylveon. This Pokemon I've seen everywhere in my ranked games. I don't know about you. Everywhere in my ranked games, have seen it quite a bit in tournament play as well. Hyper Voice got that big old rework. If you haven't seen it on Twitter, I don't know how you missed it, because it takes up your entire screen now. Hyper Voice now has a huge angle, not quite a semicircle, but almost a very large cone in front of Sylveon. The damage did get reduced a little bit, and I will say, I think I can feel that impact. Like, especially because I play a lot of melee brawlers, and I'm like, I can hang in front of a Sylveon longer than I could have.
But now I can't get out.
Sure.
Which
yes.
Lies my problem playing supports with, like, no mobility. So it's just like,
well, and that might be an effect of the new rework to the Hyper Voice Plus. Now, when you hit Hyper Voice Plus for Sylveon, you are slowing the enemy by 30%, which is pretty crazy.
A lot.
It's a lot. And it's also a huge AoE. It's very, very strong now. I don't know. Sylveon is, for the longest time, Umbreon's kind of been always that Pokemon. It's like, the closer you get to them, the more you're going to, like, F around and find out, for lack of a better way to say it. I feel like Sylveon's coming close to that level of play as well. Same with something like maybe like Alolan Ninetales. Like, if you get within range, you're, like, kind of asking. It's dangerous damage that's going to be thrown out the other way. And then Sylveon also just getting some other nice buffs, right? Draining Kiss now healing a ton. The slow going from 20% to 50% on a Pokemon that is hit by Draining Kiss. Like, Sylveon is a lockdown mage now.
I don't think Sylveon needed any buffs. Maybe a Unite move buff, but...
Sure. Okay.
I don't really understand any of this.
Icing on the cake, Baby Doll Eyes is now a sure hit move instead of a ranged move.
Thank God. Give it Shell Bell, too.
Yeah.
That's me, man. I don't even know if it's good with Shell Bell. I'm just mad.
Okay, so Bridget hates Sylveon, confirmed.
I'm not a fan.
Good to hear. Yeah, I don't know. I think I talked about this. I don't even know if it was on our podcast or if it was not. But when these changes were kind of hinted at on Twitter, like they were on the PTS before they hit the live game, I was like, I don't know. I think it's a fine change. I think it's interesting. I'm not as negative on it as Bridget is, clearly. But I was like, when looking at it, people were making the argument, they're like, oh, it's so less skill now. And I'm like, if you thought Hyper Voice was skill before, like,
I don't really.
I am sorry. I do not think that is the case. But, I mean, the range is kind of ridiculous. Unite DB has the stats here. The angle, it was a 35% range from forward from the point of targeting. So basically, from the point to the end of the Hyper Voice, it was a 35% increase out either direction. Now it goes from that to 120%. So we're going wide. We're hitting a lot. But like I said, the damage does get reduced a little bit. But yeah, you were slowed and stuck in that Sylphion's Rage of Damage quite a bit. So there it is. There it is. Let's move on. Let's move on to kind of the
better mage.
Yes, the somehow even better special attacker. Bridget, I think you said it before we jumped on. Maybe it was during the podcast. They hit the Pikachu button, okay? Pikachu,
sure
Pikachu is here and it is everywhere. So visual effects for Pikachu have been updated. Great. Also, Volt Tackle has been buffed again. Cooldown has been decreased from 10 seconds down to 9 seconds with a special attacker that really likes running cooldown emblems and stuff like that. You're going to make that real quick. new effect as well. Gain 25% movement speed for 2 seconds after using Volt Tackle. This, I will say, is a good change. I like the movement speed buff. Because so often, it was just never worth Volt Tackling unless you had like 3 or 4 members of your team beside you, right, to capitalize on it. But now, with the movement speed buff, you can risk jumping into the enemy because you might still be able to get away. You know, you can get launch in with the Volt Tackle, hold one target, and still make it instead of being like, well, if my teammate doesn't knock out this Dodrio, I'm doomed. You know? So that being changed is a little bit better. But this is the big crazy change that has made this Pokemon relevant both competitively and it's everywhere in ranked right now. Thunderstorm, its Unite move, has had a huge buff. Now, the number of Pokemon struck by subsequent lightning bolts has increased from 1 to 2. So effectively doubling the damage of Pikachu's Unite move, but also making it a much more relevant team fight option, and it's way less of a random dice roll. It's kind of crazy. But Bridget, what are your thoughts on the Pikachu changes?
Not super surprising. Honestly, Pikachu has been not really respected for a long time. Mm-hmm. I really feel like it wasn't until Worlds when we were seeing like Korea and Japan like playing Pikachu seriously, that was like, I was surprised because I would not have guessed we were going to see Pikachu at all. Mm-hmm. That was pre-buff. So the fact that it did, honestly, like pretty well on the world stage and they were like, you know what?
Send it.
Maybe we make it better. is interesting, but not surprising. It is the mascot. It really hasn't been relevant in a super long time. Mm-hmm. I'm also a little biased. I love playing Pikachu. I'm much more of a Circle Thunder Thunderbolt enjoyer. Sure. I will Volt Tackle if it's an Absol meta, and mm-hmm. I have to. but the Unite move is what excites me the most. I feel like the movement speed for Volt Tackle is definitely significant, especially since if you are playing with a brain, you know that Pikachu lands in the exact spot that it jumped from. So if, you know, it's basically like a sitting duck once you get back to that spot. So if people aren't paying attention or there's like more of a room for escape, like you were mm-hmm. saying, you're not as much of a sitting duck. So that is helpful. But the Unite move rules. I love that it's so much more impactful because I honestly thought Pikachu's Unite move prior was good, but I didn't really ever consider how much true RNG there was when mm-hmm. you are using it in a team fight. So cool to see it get this change.
Yeah, it's really cool. On that Underdog Tournament cast, Ender and I were talking about this Pokemon, and the change of this Unite move has been pretty relevant, even in how it's played competitively. Like, in previous times, if Pikachu found a target, either alone or so squishy that it wanted to try to initiate a 1v1, Pikachu would often Unite move. It's one of the fastest Unite move charge rates in the game, if not the fastest. Pikachu might be at the top of the list. It's very, very good. But either way, I oftentimes tank players in competitive play would just jump in the Pikachu aura to make it like a coin flip if the lightning bolt would hit the intended target or the tank again and again, right? Like, to even while the other target's trying to run away, the tank just jumps in range to try to buy some time. Now it's just you gotta roll with whatever Thunderstorm throwing, because either you both get hit or one of you gets hit, so just make a run for it. Yeah, Pikachu just a much more relevant team fighter now, which I think is really cool. I think with this Unite move chain, it's all it needed to be relevant in that way. I think before it was an incredible laner, but then after that, it wasn't super great in a lot of the team fight aspects. But now, Pikachu, I'm back on top. Let's move on to the next one. One of my favorite Pokemon in the world. I know not a lot of people's, but the Mimikyu changes. It did get buffed. Did it need it? No. Does it matter? No. Trick Room got buffed. Both effects, 8.5 second cooldown down to 7 seconds, and then in Trick Room Plus, 7.5 seconds down to 6 seconds. Damage reduction also gets buffed from Mimikyu as well, from external sources. So that's damage coming from outside of the Trick Room, the big rectangle. Or square, rather. 50% to 70%. Trick Room is so fun. It's just... you just have to pick Shadow Sneak. It is such a good move. But Trick Room is unbelievably fun. I've definitely been trying it a bit. You just slap a Razor Claw back on Mimikyu. You jump into ranked games. You play some Trick Room. It's a blast. It is genuinely such a fun move.
Yeah, I wish they would have nerfed Shadow Sneak in addition to this. So, because like you said, how are you ever not picking Shadow Sneak?
Yeah.
No offense to Trick Room, but that move is insane. The resets you can get off it are insane. It's just...
Yeah,
you know.
The ability to finish kills, too, which is something that's pretty absent, I think, in a lot of Pokemon's kit that are, I don't know, it's something that doesn't get talked about too much, but if you miss on a kill in Unite, it can be pretty devastating for a few reasons. One, you're giving ult charge a lot of the time to people who can heal or whatever, but the biggest thing is, recall times are so fast in Unite. If you get to a piece of tall grass, you click that recall button, you're basically back in grass, immediately. Mimikyu's ability to make sure that people get close out on those KOs is fantastic. Shadow Sneak for that is phenomenal. Trick Room, maybe a bit more of a team fight. Maybe there's a realm where, Eldegoss Leaf Tornado comes back and Mimikyu's the hard counter. I don't know. I'm down for it, though. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, Leaf Tornado turns into, Drop Kick for your own team. You're like, no! Oh, that'd be awesome.
Bring back the ADC meta.
Please.
We need it.
Yeah, well, here's another special attacker. Gengar. Ton of buff. So, Gengar not making their changes into the Shadow Flame Part 2 patch. Instead, swinging into Hyper Voltage. So, shout out to... We love a flexible ghost, okay? Dream Eater getting changed quite a bit. Just a cooldown buff, as well as getting a lot more healing. Both its base stats and the percentage ratio that it goes up by both getting increased. And then Hex also getting a buff. Basically, the cooldown on Hex going down a little bit, and the Unite move Phantom Ambush also getting buffed. 134 seconds down to 112 seconds. With how fast Gengar farms, I don't think you were ever worried about the internal clock timer, but you're definitely going to be getting your Unite move a little quicker now, which is nice. Gengar... This is an interesting one. I'm super... You share first. Bridget, I'm curious. What are your thoughts on Gengar right now?
I was scared. I'm always scared when I see a Gengar buff. Okay. I am not... I don't really want to live in a world where this is dominating the meta. Mm-hmm. Although I guess I could run Safeguard Blissey again. And that's always a good time for me. Mm-hmm. But... I must say, I was pretty afraid when I saw these initial changes, but I've definitely been running into them on ladder, and I am sorry to report that it's still Gengar, and I don't really feel like it's, I think it still has a lot of really hard counters. There's so many micro stuns in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really been having too much... trouble with it, but I do think it definitely needed it.
Yes,
so
for sure.
I'm glad, but I don't think it's I feel like a lot of people, maybe I just haven't, I'm in ultra lobbies, I don't know, maybe I just haven't seen it shine necessarily, but I don't think it's to me Pikachu won this patch. Gengar.
Yeah, Gengar. Between the two, I don't think it's particularly close.
If you had to pick a winner, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Sure.
I feel like a lot of people would say Gengar. I feel like I've seen a lot of people really loving Gengar. And
okay. I will admit, I really like the changes. I think they're fun, but it's just because Gengar's probably my favorite speedster to play in the game, right? I like playing Gengar as a speedster. I don't think this makes it competitively viable. I will die on the hill. I've said this, and I'll keep saying it forever. I don't think Gengar has ever been broken. I genuinely don't. Like, people just needed to learn how to play around it, and they did back in the early game, right? Like,
I'd say maybe games. Like early, like season one, season two,
right?
Like, Battle Pass Gengar,
no one
stunned him. Right.
You know, like everyone was playing Snorlax, and no one was putting a block in his face. Like, it was just.
Yeah, I'm playing Eldegoss, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just hitting the A button. I don't know what you're talking about. So yeah, no, I agree. But having some of these changes, I think, pretty good for Gengar. I do not think it is as broken as Twitter was leading us all to believe.
Okay, I feel like I was seeing a lot of people like really.
Oh, for
me scared.
Sure. Yeah, no, people were like, "Oh my god, oh Gengar's back! This is crazy." I'm like, yeah, it rips Rey a little fast. Now that is true. Well, I think it's just it does snowball harder than it used to. I will give it that, especially because of the Unite move change. If you were like Dominator, you're picking up a 3-pack like every single time you gank a lane, yeah, you're gonna get your Unite move more. You're gonna keep rocking them. Like, I think it snowballs harder, and that's a cool spot for Gengar to be in, right? It's a 3-stage speedster. It's a late game Pokemon, like mid to late game Pokemon that has been, you know, it's hell-bent on that. Dominate the game. But if you're playing Gengar from behind, you are having a tough time out there. So I think I'm a pretty big fan. I don't know. Let's buff it again. Give it an invis. Anyway.
Okay, chill.
Time for Buzzwole. Okay, Buzzwole got a Leaf Life buff. Leech Life buff. Oh, interesting. You sound upset about this.
I'm only upset because now people are just like, people are spamming it. And I'm like, stop playing Leech Life.
It's bad.
You're really running bad. It down. I'm getting annoyed. Okay, that's so. The only, I mean, it. I don't know. I guess this move is bad, but I don't really know what you would do to make it not bad.
Uh-huh,
if I'm being
sure.
Honest.
Yeah, no, I get you. Peek behind the curtain. Bridget and I are obviously queuing together. She's yelling at me. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. We have
I'm
not
sliding.
Played.
I'm sliding.
We have not played on this patch yet, but she would probably be if I was
You're
playing it.
To play it. You're okay, allowed to okay. play it.
I do really enjoy the Leech Life Lunge build of this Pokemon. But I've said this before, back when Buzzwole was first coming out, I literally just love Razor Claw so much. And
that's what it is.
And like any Pokemon that can enable that item to work well, and Leech Life Lunge Buzzwole does really good with Razor.
Okay.
So I'm a fan of that. But to agree with you, I say it with a sad heart, but you are right. Leech Life is still not the play. Between Superpower and Leech Life, it's just Superpower just does simply too much, and it does too much to too many things. Like, Leech Life is, on paper, it is a great 1v1 play. Like, you should never lose a 1v1 in which you have Leech Life available.
Bro.
However, Superpower, yeah, exactly, which there's like, yeah, caveats there, but Superpower, you could 1v3 sometimes with Superpower, you know? You're like hitting multiple targets, that you got your big muscle cage charging up insanely fast, like, I don't know. So, anyway, 8 seconds down to 5 seconds, and it's healing also moving up. I genuinely think these buffs are great. But I don't think that this Pokemon has gotten that to work yet. But yeah, it could work for Tank Buzz. I see Dextro saying that in chat. Yeah, that's true. I do think we are going to be entering the world of all-rounder, like, tank, all-rounder tanks pretty soon. Like, by that, I mean just strapping an EXP share on. One other, I know we brought up Ender like 100 times on this, but just that tournament that he and I did,
obsessed.
We talked about a lot of good stuff, but Bridget, one thing, it was funny, he was like, he's like, I still don't think that it was support Mew at Worlds. He was like, we'll go down there, it was, they were still in the attacker role, but they just had an EXP share now, which is, you know, kind of an interesting way to think about it. I hadn't thought about that too much, but maybe we'll start to see that from some all-rounders. I feel like Buzzwole could handle that. Mewtwo X, in particular, a Pokemon that's well-known to have
True.
The... I have to admit, a couple of my wins have come on the back of Tank Mewtwo X, and it is so fun to just, like,
yeah,
yoink people back off the goal zone and then just... Oh, just punch them so good, Bridget. You're just punching them so good.
Know you are.
Yeah. Okay, let's get off Buzzwole, because honestly, not very much has changed, so we got a lot to talk about still. So
I know.
Sarah Ledge, got some nerfs. Spinner Blade going down a little bit again. This is after that huge buff they gave to Bitterblade for Sarah Lich in the first Shadow Flame patch. But going down its damage ratio a little bit, both in its percentage and in its base stats. Phantom Force now slows the enemy a little bit less. So from 90% down to 60%. And Psycho Cut also receiving a nerf. Its stats stay the same, just its base value goes down a little bit. So if you're stacking, you're probably not going to notice the Psycho Cut change, but otherwise, yeah, a little bit lower. Yeah, good. We need to keep nerfing this Pokemon. This is fine. We're tuning it. They could have went harder on Sarilege for sure. I'm looking at the Unite move. Honestly, I think they should move the Unite move charge timer up. Like, let it take longer. Like, force this Pokemon into jungle. I think one of its, like, crazy relevant parts of it in the metagame right now is that it can exist in both lane or jungle and be totally fine. So let's move that up a little bit. But, you know, fine. They're adjusting some things, they're buffing others. I'm okay with this balance strategy as a whole, but Sarah Lich probably could have received a few more buffs. Or, sorry, not buffs. Few more nerfs.
Yeah. I know. It's hard because part of me is like, get this thing out of... Like, I agree. I think it's still, like, very relevant, very good. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, it's the ult for me that is probably the most painful. But it's hard because it's like, I don't really like what they did to Phalanx, where they kind of nerf it so hard that it just falls off just completely. Yeah, because although Phalanx was like pretty annoying to deal with for, I mean, a little bit in comparison to like Leafeon, that's been relevant since its launch, I feel like. Yeah. I don't know.
And Phalanx was fun to play around in draft too, though, right? Because, like, we had the on-paper counters and everything. Like, he's got this weird Achilles heel, or rather five Achilles heels, you know? Like, that could, you could try to play around. Yeah, Dexter, I know Phalanx is bugged. We actually have a weird patch of bugs in this one. A lot of, like, game-breaking, oh no, this Pokemon's broken now. A lot of detrimental ones and some goofy ones. We'll talk about some of those in a minute. But yeah, they do not know how to fix Phalanx's code. In fact, they don't know how to fix it in any game. They finally put it in Pokemon Go after the first time where it didn't work. I don't know if you remember that.
I got one just recently, though, right?
Yes.
When it first launched.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. That was a hilarious bug. So yeah, they don't know how to bug code Phalanx. I don't think in any title, but yeah. All right, Sarah Lich, yeah, I think we're all talking about good nerfs. Blaziken, also getting a decent amount of nerfs. Its crit chance all kind of plummeting, for the most part, having its critical hit chance at any given level, as well as Blaze Kick going down, Fire Punch going down, and Fire Punch Plus going down. Kind of shocked Overheat is not amid these changes.
Agree. Yeah. I am a little confused on what we thought the best part of the kit was. Fire Punch was annoying. I'm not mad. I'm just, like, disappointed. It's like, why touch everything else but that? Like, yeah. I guess... I don't know. They want it to be a secure bot or whatever, but... Maybe, like, I don't know, make the box, like, a little smaller. I don't know. It just feels a little...
Box a little smaller would be interesting. You could... You know how, like, there's that little bar of, like, max damage or whatever it is? What if we put that later?
Yeah, I don't know,
make it have longer charge time to be at relevant. So, like, you have to be set up even earlier in, like, objective secure situations. Like, that kind of thing would be interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of things they could do with Blaziken. This definitely feels like a first pass and a very light one at that. All that being said, I was still on Bridget. I have not seen very much Blaziken in my ranked games. That being said, you and I are both in Ultra. And this Pokemon is a, like, high-skill Pokemon. Like,
definitely,
it is amidst the, like, more difficult Pokemon on the roster to play, and even then some, it is amongst the roster of the Pokemon that the better you are, the more impact you're going to have of, like, takeover potential. Zoroark, Blaziken, even Zeraora in some fashion, like, those Pokemon tend to feel like that, and this is, I think Blaziken definitely one of those, but Yeah, all right, nerf overheat next time, guys. All right, let's go on. Slowbro, natural stats getting nerfed, both its cooldown reduction and its base health. Its base health goes way down in the late game, by the way. This Pokemon kind of plummets in terms of stats. Like, level 12 went from 7183 down to 7862, so a few hundred amongst all of them. I think 500 at max level at like level 15. So Slowbro still pretty tanky in the early game, but throughout the later game, it will be easier to KO Slowbro, which is pretty fascinating. Obviously, it's a Pokemon that has everything in its toolkit, helps it not go down. You know, Surf Stun, Skull Damage Reduction, Telekinesis, Heal and Stop, Amnesia, Super Heal, like, and Slow Beam, of course, like, everything will help it out there. So I think nerfing its base stats is actually one of the best directions they could go. I actually really like this. Cooldown reduction also getting reduced. Now it just never gets cooldown reduction. Cool.
Yay.
Yeah, right, fair enough. I don't want to get hurt by Surf Plus more. That's fine. I think that change is good. Yeah, Slowbro definitely getting the nerf hammer a little bit here.
Yeah, definitely interesting. We did get the Ho-Oh nerfs, but out of, like, Trev or Umbreon, we're getting the Slowbro nerf. But honestly, the more I think about it, I feel like they have been trying to pare down Slowbro for a while, and they kind of can't because its Unite move is just like,
it's just too good.
Always good. So I actually feel like this kind of makes it, they're like, okay, if you have the Unite move, you can't have everything else too. And we can't, what else can we do to the Unite move to make it worse? Like, not a lot. So I definitely get this because Slowbro good always. I don't even think this will like really hurt it that much.
Yeah, Dextro in chat saying it's a bit more of a nerf to damage, bro. Yeah, I guess so. The cooldown reduction definitely
being for sure
reduced there, but okay, down to some bug fixes. Dragon Bolt, fix the bug where Dreep and Destroy would target Serralege hidden with Phantom Force. We didn't need to fix that. That was fine. We can put it back. Put the bug back, please. Make Dragon Bolt relevant in some way, please.
Yeah, let him have something.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay, Tyranitar, fix the bug where Tyranitar could reuse Sand Tomb's second activation by exiting and re-entering the Sand Tomb area.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Duraludon. Okay, I'm not going to read every bug fix. What am I talking about? Yes.
The Duraludon is actually good, though.
Is it? Is it? Okay, I'll read it. Fix an issue where Duraludon's boosted attack damage cap applied to the entire boosted attack instead of just the percentage to max HP portion. Oh, yeah, great. All right, well, shout out Duraludon.
Anyway.
I don't like that Pokemon. I don't want to be good ever. I'm not reading it. Oh my gosh, wait, yes. Actually, I regret saying that. I will read it. Dodrio, fix the bug where footsteps were too loud. I was watching Spraggle stream.
Like, it's so funny.
Oh my god, I was watching Spraggle stream and he was losing it.
It was
match.
Footsteps?
Yeah, well, he was like, I hate playing this now. This is awful.
Because it's too quiet.
Well, they were too loud originally. Oh, like,
I thought he liked them being
loud. No, because it sounded terrible while it was happening. It was like, thup, 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 the whole time. Especially because, like, most people at this point in the game's life cycle aren't playing with music on or anything, right? So any sound effects are, like, very loud and very apparent, yeah.
I don't usually play with in-game audio on at all, so any audio problem, I'm just like,
oh. I'm just a holdout for in-game audio just for like Unite move indicators.
It is
the biggest thing.
Smart to play. It is not. I just kind of never did, and then when I realized like sounds kind of mattered, I was like, well,
too late. I guess.
Now I find it like overstep. I'm like, it's too loud.
Fair enough.
Talk too much.
Yeah. I get that. Instead, we're playing with country music. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I did pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
The science is there. Okay.
Yeah.
A couple more changes. Zarina, this is not, it was a shadow buff, was not included in the patch notes, so shout out to UniteDB for bringing this one in. The Unite move, Queen's Ascendance, now works the same way as Charizard, Mimikyu, or Slowbro. It now bounds to unstoppable targets as well. This is hilarious. I was watching Ender's stream the other day, and his Charizard, like, Unite and, like, ejected a... No, it was, he was playing Talonflame. And Talonflame, like, Unite move all the way down a lane, but because Zarina targeted him, like, while he was doing, the Talonflame was doing the whole, like, pull back thing, the Zarina, like, flew across the screen.
My God!
And chased it down, where it was like, oh, this game of Unite is, we have gone too far! We have gone too far! But anyway... this is a huge buff to Zarina. Like, crazy good now. You're no longer able to unstoppable bait out Zarina Unite moves, and Zarina can grab any target, which includes a Unite moving Charizard, or apparently Talonflame. So, yeah. Very, very good shadow buff to this Pokemon. And honestly, kind of cool. I mean, Zarina has not been relevant in quite some time. I think people have talked about how it could be good in a few... I know Ven talked a lot about, like, our... post-Worlds episode, how she thought it was a really good answer to a lot of the metagame stuff. We didn't see it too much. We saw it here and there. But, hey, now it's even better. So I definitely think we could see some more Zarina popping up.
Yeah, I hope so. I like Zarina. I think it needs something to make it stand out, I guess, amongst all the all-rounders. But it's always been, like, rated very highly in the East, so...
Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit beforehand that it's nice to see... Nice and also scary, I guess, to see something else get the unstoppable ult treatment, because now it's like, oh, I don't have to pick Charizard or Mimikyu. Like, there's another one that fills that niche, but also maybe, like, don't do this to all of them, please.
Yeah, it really feels at this point like, oh, what patch will have bound over unstoppable next? You know, like, yeah. Which Pokemon next time? But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Okay, final change of the patch. This is Shelbell getting a pretty huge buff. So I'm only going to read off the level 20 plus because it's basically where everybody's got the item at this point. It is now moving up from 45% to 60% stat bonus, and then 75 to 80 in terms of damage. Awesome. Shelbell receiving buffs is sick. It is an item that has gotten so outclassed by Spoon and Cursed Incense. It is crazy. So cool to see this item again. I know you had a particular Pokemon that you liked running. What Pokemon have you found a use for with Shelbell? New and improved.
I'm not running. I'm a victim.
Okay. Still counts, but yeah.
Petal Venusaur players need to get out of my lobbies. I don't really actually know if, like, equipping Shelbell is, like, making them better, or if people just, like, or people, aka me, just forgot how broken Petal Dance was, because I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
But I do think combination of the meta, this item getting a buff, and whatever freaking gold badge Venu I kept queuing into that was running this into me for an hour straight.
Uh-huh.
Shout out my friend Ghosty, who is a really good Venu player, loves Petal Venu. I was watching him stream and play it.
Cool.
And his face, like, watching his reaction to him playing it was, like, hilarious, because he actually, like, he would be, like, wiping the entire team in a team fight for, like, 2 minutes and walk away just, like, full HP. I'm like, oh my gosh, man.
No good.
So, special attackers, I think, are up. I don't actually know if Shelbell is optimal or what it's optimal on, or if it's actually, you know, numerically significant. It kind of feels like it. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I was gonna say, we might need some math core demons out there to tell us where it's optimal, where it's not.
Where's Wither?
Straight up, I think Shelbell could replace Spoon on some Goodra builds. This is the most irrelevant build tech to ever exist.
No,
but, like,
if you're
running, like, Depulse Goodra, you could probably put Shelbell in there instead of Spoon. I don't know. Actually, what would give you more healing? I guess it depends on how many targets you hit. Like, if you're just hitting one target, Bell's probably better. But if you're hitting multiple targets, doing more damage is better for more healing. And at that point, maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. Interesting, interesting. We got to get the math people on. But
sounds like math, yeah.
Sounds like math, and you and I not equipped. So awesome. All right. Well, thank you everybody for going through the patch with us. If you're watching this on YouTube, please let us know who you think was the biggest patch winner. I think you and I are pretty indifferent that it is Pikachu. But who knows what it might bring. Let's hit a couple more topics, probably a little bit faster than we did the patch notes discussion. But that's fine. Bridget, first thing, and this isn't in our run of show, but I did want to mention, we got Armourish coming out in a couple days. Have you gotten a chance to look at that Pokemon at all?
I usually do not look at leaked movesets or anything. I kind of just like wait for it to be in the game. But I'm so excited about the upcoming Pokemon that they announced at Worlds. I've actually watched all of the test server stuff on their kits because I am so excited. That's especially awesome. For a new attacker. When's the last time we got a new attacker that was a Maridon?
Oh, before Maridon, we're going deep. That was a lot of all-rounders.
Mewtwo?
Mewtwo Y, maybe? Yeah. Jeez.
That's insane. So attackers are kind of like my guilty pleasure. I wouldn't say I'm great, but if I'm not playing a tanker support, I'm usually playing attacker.
Cool.
So I'm pretty excited. And I love Actually, I'm a big Armourish fan. Like Armourish so much more than Sparrow. Right, sorry.
You had me, and then you lost me.
That's where I lose them. I do not think anyone likes Arma, but I had it in my playthrough, so I'm kind of like biased, but I love that guy. So
Okay, great. All right, that's fun. Oh, man. Okay, I do think Armourish is cool. I just remember getting in classic in an argument with Doomsnax and Spragos, and I'm like, Armourish is cool. And they're like, no, he's not. I'm like, yes, he is. He's Mega Man. And then it was I guess it just really takes, do you love Mega Man or do you know? Are you more excited for the more rangy build of Armourish or more of the brawler style build?
Okay, the brawler build does not look fun.
Oh, yeah. That's so funny. Bridget, you and I have never been further apart.
That move looks so boring.
I know.
Are you serious?
Oh, it looks fun. You fire spin and then you flame charge it into your boosted. I don't know. It looks like the knockup of
the
little flame charges.
Maybe the boosted is cooler than I think it is, but
yeah. I don't know. Okay, so obviously, if anybody hasn't seen any videos, Spraggles has got a great, like, everything you need to know about Armourish video. It's genuinely fantastic. You should check that out if you want to pick it up in the next couple of days. But it basically has two builds. You have the Fire Spin and Flame Charge. Fire Spin basically gives you a big AoE of a fiery spinning thing around you. And then Flame Charge allows you to, like kind of dash into people with a bit of a knockup.
Just a dash.
Yeah. Yes. But then if you go Flame Charge Armor Cannon, hell, okay. But anyway, then the other options, you have Armor Cannon and Psyshock. I think it's the other build, right? Like you could go with. So Psyshock seems kind of really unique in the game that we have so far. It's like a 3-stage damage hit. However, the final damage hit has a bit of a knockup. And then Armor Cannon, it looks so cool. You just like literally charge up your little Mega Man blaster and you fire. Like it is just, it's so scratching the itch that I didn't know I had. You know, like his animation looks so kind of dorky and fun. Like I love it. It's
the
so
Unite
good.
Animation too looks so sick. They always actually really kill it with like the move and the model design.
For
so
sure. I will
I'm
say
kind of a sucker for that.
The Unite move, while it looks cool, I think is generally boring. Like,
yeah, it's not,
it
like,
doesn't do much. It's so strange. Like, I feel like they killed it with the rest of the kit, and then the Unite was just like, man, big hit, kind of a knock. It's like, all right.
It's very Cinderace.
It's like, what if Maridon's Unite only hit once? You're like, oh, okay.
I mean, jumping, I wonder, like, is he, can you, like, hit him when he's, like, jumping in the air? I wonder how, like, cancelable it. Okay, well, shut up. I wonder how cancelable it is.
That is, like, true. That'll be interesting.
How delicate is he when he's jumping up? I haven't paid like that much attention to the.
They should go all
stuff.
In. Give him rocket boots. Give him like Dragonite Unite, where he could like move across the map, and he like he like bombards from the air for a little bit. God, it'd be so cool. Anyway, all right. Maybe we'll look forward for the Armourish rework when this Pokemon releases in 2 days. Anyway, I think it looks pretty cool. But anyway,
I'm very excited.
Yeah, I think we're pretty positive about that. One thing we're not so positive about, though, and I think most of the community was not, is a host of price changes have hit the game, all in the negative fashion, I think for the most part, unless you're like, yeah, more coins every week. I don't know if you were excited about spending money for less. Yeah, biggest change recently, we talked a lot about the membership changes on a previous podcast episode. Those are still in effect, but the battle pass has increased in gem prices. And word on the street, aka data mines, is that Pokemon with their like week-long gem lock will also be increasing in terms of price. So make sure to retweet those content creators next week when you want to grab that license for free if possible. Overall, it's not great. Fortunately, Bridget, you and I are in the West, where the change is not great, but it's more marginal. Where these changes really start to hurt is when you're in markets where your dollar or your currency is a lot weaker compared to the base currency, right? So, like, if you're paying, like, in a country like, I think India gets hit pretty hard by this, where all of a sudden it is a very expensive purchase because it just moves up marginally, right? It doesn't scale the way you would like it to. So I think some parts of Europe as well gets a little more tough. I think, reminder, you can buy gems on like the web store. Just a reminder there for people if you don't want to buy it in game. I know it's less convenient. But I do believe you could do that. Same with Pokemon Go and things like that. I think you can technically say you're paying with whatever currency you want. Not that we're...
I know you can do that for Go because it's cheaper usually. Yes. Or there's more deals like on the browser.
Because they don't have to pay the app store purchases, right? So they don't have to share revenue there so they can afford to have better deals there. So definitely have a thing there. So yeah, Wynos, I think, hit the nail on the head for the most part of the topic, is that things getting more expensive at the same time they're making the membership worse, it really hurts. Like, they're making things more expensive, and they're not giving anything in return. And they're not even, like, confusingly like, oh, we thought you'd like this kind of thing. You know what I mean? There have been some changes, right? Like, a lot of free event passes that have premium options. So, theoretically, more free-to-play things that you can try to collect and earn the game. That's good. It's a good free-to-play change. It's just like you're pay to play or just pay to enjoy, I'll call it. Players aren't getting anything more for the increased price, which is really strange. Like, why would you create that divide more? But yeah, anyway, Bridget, any of your thoughts on this topic?
No, I mean, it just feels like, why would you give us something for so long and then scale it back without giving us something else of like equal value and then make it more it's just like the opposite. If you're gonna make it more expensive, okay, it doesn't even like, it's just it's basic like business pricing. Like, give us something that's not quite worth, you know, another color wave of whatever, another hair, like it doesn't even have to be anything like significantly crazy. Honestly, like, the card stickers, I'm kind of getting like I'm over that. I kind of like character customization. I like character customization. I like skins for my Pokemon, you know, stuff everyone likes. Like, I don't understand taking stuff away and then also increasing price. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
So if we take like a step back, we try to view it as Unite Developer, like whatever business practice is making these decisions. I don't know if it's Timmy, the Pokemon company, where this choice is happening, right? I think the easiest assumption to come to is that this game needs to make more money in their eyes. They are trying to generate more revenue. Now, I don't know if these changes will generate more money. Maybe they will. Like, you know, like people might not like it, but it might work for them, which sucks. But that might be the change that they need to do. It's just, I don't guarantee because I don't know for a fact, but I feel like it would make more money if you just up the prices of things that people are already paying for, but then, you know, added in some more stuff in your digital game where it's all made up and it doesn't cost you more money. Like, if the membership increased in price a little bit more and they gave you like an effect spray, like once a like a 30-day effect spread.
Temporary, yeah. Like something
they're already temporary. Trust me, I'm so sad when they go away. But like you give like a 30-day of the new version. I actually love that they're making like new effect sprays with each battle.
I think that's
so sick. The cyber one's great.
Like
Gengar spacesuit cyber spray. Mm, yes, please. and you get more performance points. We can talk about that at a different time. But if you just give the 30-day spray, you know, like you're a member for this month. This is one of your rewards. Great. And then maybe the gems go up like a little bit. I don't know. But yeah, you can increase the price there. Increase the price of the battle pass. I saw Chris Heroes mention this. Like, they increase the price of the battle pass. Maybe we put the move effects in the battle pass for the skin. Like,
or
instead
like,
of
add another. Like, they have like the two tiers, even though like the second tier, you just like jump ahead and.
Right.
Levels. But like, make another tiered. Like, give. But yeah. Maybe they've done the math and they're like. If we do these changes, we expect to lose, you know, 30%. But if we retain 70%, we'll more than make up for the people. You know, I have to assume they've done the math and they're like, it's worth losing however many people. But yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen anyone who is like, I gotta get this battle pass, other than people who are like diehard Greninja people.
Yeah, I mean, I got it. I really like the skin.
They were like, if we just need to get however many people are gonna be like diehard about it, like right. I don't know. I have to assume that's been the deciding factor. Like you said, like they want to make more money.
Yeah, I want. Need, you know, we can start throwing around terms too. I don't know.
It's released in China, man.
that's a big thing, right? The game is soon to be released in China. And hey, great segue, Bridget. Because the final topic that we wanted to mention, and again, we'll keep it quick. We're running really late on time, but nothing for you to apologize for. I'm the yapper. But we did have one cool change. So this is mostly going to be to fans of Overdunk who have listened to the China deep dive episode we did. Oh, probably a couple months ago at this point, I honestly forget, but Gekko Kami joined Bridget and I, and we went basically point for point through all of the changes between the Chinese beta version of the game and the global version of the game. And one of the big changes and one of our biggest talking points during that episode was the held items. The held items were completely reworked. In fact, their base effects, very similar to the global game, or I shouldn't say their base effects, their passive effects, the more ability-oriented parts of them were the same. However, they could give you any stat. A Wise Glasses could give you physical attack, technically. You would never want that. Wise Glasses is maybe the worst example I could have given. But, like, Float Stone could give you special attack or something is a better way to say it, right? With your base sets, depending on how you got them from the gacha. Well, in the most recent version of the beta, that has been removed. And basically, held items are a lot more like they are in our version, where they are upgradable via item. I don't know if they're actually item enhancers or whatever. They are upgradable in some way, so you can, like, customize them, which is a hilarious way to describe that, but whatever. And they just basically went back to the global version, which, I don't know. I was, like, equal parts anxious and excited about new changes to held items like that, with seeing them exist in the China version of the game, because I love the idea of, like, having very cool specific items tailored to whatever Pokemon you want to use it, but maybe they were just finding it was entering, like, broken stances, and probably the biggest reason, they probably got a ton of feedback that people hated the gacha. And they dropped it, right? Like, that is most likely the change. But, Bridget, how are you feeling about that being absent now from the current version of the Chinese beta?
Like, you were kind of getting at, it feels double-edged, like, having the customization that was possible with it was actually pretty, like, exciting and cool to think about, but the mechanic being from a gacha system, it actually reminds, I don't know if I mentioned this when we were initially talking about it, but the whole, like, gacha on the item thing makes me think of, like, Genshin Impact. Like,
sure. Yeah.
You have, like, I don't play, I just have, like, all my friends play it, and I know whatever, all the characters have, like, some custom item that you also get from a gacha system, and if you get their weapon, you have to upgrade it, but it's, like, random, whatever, you don't get the crit ratio, it's cooked, you know, like, that is, I understand why they kind of looked into doing something like that with our items. That's definitely what it reminds me of. But yeah, making anything behind like RNG just is inherently kind of stinky.
Any mechanical piece behind RNG, right? You throw
Yes,
cosmetics behind there all you want, I don't care. But like,
yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
that is the big change up there. I think, man, we've talked about Pokemon Go a few times on this episode, but I feel like Pokemon Go in a similar fashion, with how you get Pokemon for PvP, you're looking for specific stats, right? So you're like, well, I caught three Charmanders, and this Charmander is like a 2-star, this one's a 1-star. Like, it is similar in that fashion, but like they're trying to fill a
True.
specific niche. Obviously, those are both collector-based games, and Unite is not a collector-based game, so they end up in a different pattern.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I was excited about the concept, but I am kind of happy we won't have to deal with the onslaught of like people raging at Gacha if it ever did get transitioned to global. So maybe, I don't know. Like we said, double-edged sword, but I think I'm leaning on the positive side. With something like that. There were a few other changes. I think the mini map got updated with some cooldown timers around the map. Even like the basement Reggies who are spawning on both sides of the map now got them. So gonna be a lot of timers on the map. I don't know if those will last. That feels like a lot of visual clutter on the mini map, but that being said, more information's better than lack of information, right? I mean, Unite players aren't as used to this, but MOBA players, like your screen where you play on is like this, and you're looking at numbers everywhere else. You got your opponent's CS, the towers left, your gold income, what items you're buying, like everything, right? Like your MOBAs in general are quite screen cluttery genre of game. So I don't know. Maybe it's not that big of a deal, but I think that finally brings us to the end of the episode, Bridget. I think we did it. Overdunk episode 117 coming to a close. Bridget, is there anything you'd like to shout out or anything like that before we close up shop?
I actually don't think so.
Okay.
I'm chillin'.
Cool. Well, I did want to mention this. We talked about it on last episode, but I'm going to be mentioning it every single episode, basically until it happens. Mark your calendars, October 19th, the Unite Mike's Charity Classic is going to return. We got a lot of fun stuff planned for you, a lot of fun stuff in the works. But of course, the biggest portion of that event is going to be a tournament starting in the afternoon, open to NA, EU, and LATAM. We're going to have more details coming about that very, very soon. But that will be the Unite Mike's Charity Classic, October 19th. We're going to be fundraising for an organization called Hope for the Day, that is a suicide prevention organization. And saying that today on the day of recording feels pretty solid. So, just want to remind everybody of that event coming up next month. There'll be a lot more details posted on our socials and stuff about it as the day gets closer. But I think until next time, hopefully next episode, we're going to be talking a lot about the championship series as that is going to be starting relatively soon in November. Hopefully we get a
So
rule book.
soon.
If we do, yeah, I know, it's actually so crazy, but
Oh my God.
oh, it's nuts. Okay, we'll be talking about all of that stuff very soon. For now, we're going to say goodbye, and we'll see you all next time on the next episode of Overnight. Goodbye, everybody.